everybody. So glad that you're here. Can everyone hear me okay? Am I too loud? All right, we don't want to be too loud or too soft. People are still coming in because I got the time so confused this morning. It contradicted what was in the bulletin. So I'm still not sure if our meal started at 5 or at 5:30 and if our study starts at 5:30 or 6. I don't know which one it is. Which one do y'all want to start? Okay. From now on, let's aim to have our meal start at 5. All right, and then we'll begin our study about 5:30 and see if that works out okay. But I got a little confused with it this morning. I said one thing and the bulletin was saying something else. So glad that you are here. If you did not get, you hear that? That's my fan hitting this microphone. So there we go. Yeah. So if you did not get the list of questions when you came in, if you would talk to Jessica in the corner and she'll get you one. And she also has complimentary fans for everyone because it is a little warm. We're having air conditioner problems in the sanctuary and also in Paxton Hall. We have some parts coming in, hopefully sometime this week, that will make it all fine for the weeks to come. Because if there's one thing I can't stand, it's a hot room. And this isn't hot, but it certainly is not cold. But it is going to be recorded, Nathan, tell me, for a podcast. If those of you who know what a podcast is, I'm not sure that I really know. That's something that you listen to audibly, right, Nathan? Uh-huh. So he'll explain to us down the road how you can listen to a podcast of it when you're driving or at home or something like that. This is an informal time. As you can tell, and I apologize if it's doesn't seem right to you, but I'm wearing blue jeans because I want us to be informal. I've come across people every once in a while, like at or Walmart or someplace like that, and I'll be wearing blue jeans and pushing a basket, and they'll say invariably two things: I've never seen you in blue jeans before, assuming that I'm in a coat and tie all the time or a robe. And the second thing that you people do, y'all all do it, is look at my basket. And you see, as you're talking, you're looking in my basket. And I don't know what you're looking for. Mm-hmm. Seeing if I have something in there I shouldn't have. But invariably, y'all look in my basket. I see you. Well, we're doing a four-week study on What on Earth Am I Here For? And it's based on the book by Rick Warren that came out several years ago. Out of curiosity, who has read the book, The Purpose-Driven Life? Mm-hmm. I'd say about a third of us in here have read it before. An excellent, excellent book on Christian theology and what it means to be a Christian. If you've not read The Purpose-Driven Life, I highly recommend it to you. It's divided into 40 chapters. Can read a little bit each day for 40 days, and you will find your Christian life really be strengthened by reading The Purpose-Driven Life. In my mind, it's one of the finest Christian books ever written. Don't agree entirely with everything Rick Warren says in it. He comes across at times, and this is what I wouldn't want on Facebook, he comes across at times a little Calvinistic. You know what that means when I say Calvinistic? Yeah, like believing real heavily in predestination. We'll talk about that a little bit tonight and next week. I believe somewhat in predestination, but not to the extent that Rick Warren believes. But in the Christian faith, we don't have to agree on everything. And I agree with the basic premise of what he has to say with almost everything in his book, except kind of an overemphasis upon predestination. Let's begin with a word of prayer. I ask God to guide our study, and then we'll get underway. Lord, thank you for these folks who are here this night. I thank you, Lord, for the privilege and the honor of thinking about your word and your purpose for our life. And I just pray that during these 4 weeks that you will really speak to us, help us to think about our lives, can help us to think about our faith, and through it all, to take steps being closer and closer to you. Hear our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. Has everybody had a chance to get the little booklet? This little booklet. Mm-hmm. Everyone has it with you? All right. If you'd open the little booklet to the first chapter, so what we'll do tonight is look at the first two chapters of the little pamphlet. This is going to be some of the easiest reading that you've ever done in your life. Sometime when you get a chance, if you would just number the chapters, because they aren't numbered. But tonight we're going to do chapter 1 and chapter 2 of it. Chapter 1 begins with the title, It All Starts With God, and the famous first statement of Rick Warren's book, four words, It's Not About You. That's an attention getter, and it should be an attention getter for us, because so often we just think and believe the complete opposite of that. We think that life is, it's about us. It's about my opinion. It's about my thoughts. It's about my feelings. And Rick Warren kind of just shakes us at the start, and he makes that statement and says, it's not about you. Then he leads us to the question for tonight. And the question is, what is the purpose of life? Now, that's a question that philosophers have struggled and wrestled with since the beginning of time. What's the purpose of life? Have a short little 3-minute man on the street interview that we're going to show where people give some of their answers about what is the purpose of life. So, Nathan, if you would show that.
So Calgary's a real busy city, and we see people rushing around all the time, trying to go from errand to errand. Does it ever make you wonder, like, what the purpose of all this is? Like, what's our purpose here on Earth?
I haven't given it a deep thought. It's kind of too big of a concept for me.
I don't think people really ponder those big questions, except when they're maybe looking at their Facebook feed at 2 a.m. and wondering, why am I not doing everything that everyone else is doing? Mm.
I think that people are too busy doing this. Yeah. They're no longer communicating directly with each other.
We're so busy with phones and meetings and the next thing that we don't have that time to just stop and this conversation right here, right now.
Totally. So. Like, what would be your purpose here in life?
Love? Yeah, Elijah, love. It's love, just loving, you know, not just spread love, just be love.
Showing people compassion, being kind of a rock for people.
I'd have to think about that quite a while, really.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that we actually have a purpose here.
I think just to take learnings to the next life, you know, spiritually, and to become, you know, more one with God, I guess.
I think I just want to leave a net positive impact.
Do you think that other people are searching for more meaning in life?
I think so, because it seems to be coming up in conversation quite a bit.
I think more people are open about it.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of things that, especially in a city life, there's a lot of things that can take away from that.
Yeah.
But I think that we all do think about it. Yeah.
I think a lot of people are looking for meaning. Even if they're not actively looking, people don't like being bored. They don't like being without purpose.
Yeah.
So anything that gives them purpose. So, like, even mundane things like, oh, I like to read every day. That's my purpose. Or I play video games for 12 hours a day, and I go in competitively. That's my purpose.
Yeah.
So I think it's anything.
what are you looking for in life? What do you think would make you the most happy?
I don't know, really.
Yeah.
I just kind of live it day by day and see where life takes me.
Great.
And my kids. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think we're all searching for the meaning of life. I think the meaning of life is love. Yeah. I don't know if everybody's searching for that.
Yeah.
But I think that's the inevitable answer you're going to get to. Yeah.
I've been trying to search for that answer, and I have yet to find that answer, so I don't know. I'm a work in progress. So I don't know.
Interviews, the main thing, I guess, that comes across to me, and I want to ask the main thing that comes across to you, is that when people are asked, what's the purpose of life? What's your purpose in life? What's the answer for most people? I don't know. Me, it's something I'm searching for. Mr. Miller? Yes. That's a good reason to have a purpose in life, yes. And we're going to ask for your thought as to what you think your purpose in life is. These guys up here just don't seem to have really struggled with that before. So many people never think about this question. Why am I here? What is my purpose in life? Philosophers have struggled with that, like I said, for centuries and centuries. One of the goals of our four-week study is for us to really think about that question in a real serious way, to ask ourselves, why am I here? Why did God create me? What is my purpose in life? That's a valid question to ask when you're 15 years old. It's a valid question to ask when you're 95 years old, because sometimes it takes a whole lifetime of thinking and praying to find an answer to that. I want us to think about some scripture readings and then some things I want us to talk about at our table and give us a chance to kind of talk with each other and meet folks at our table and to give our thoughts with things. Three passages I want to share with us. Jeremiah chapter 20 verse 18. This is from the Today's English Version. Jeremiah, you know, struggled a lot in life. He was called, you know his nickname? Anybody know? The Weeping Prophet. Because he wept a lot. He had a lot of sadness in his life. He could see his kingdom that he lived in crumbling and falling, was about to be conquered by enemies. Jeremiah asked this question, why was I born? Was it only to have trouble and sorrow, to end my life in disgrace? Now this is the great prophet Jeremiah. And he said, why was I born? What's the purpose for all this? The prophet Isaiah, chapter 40, verse 4. Again, the great prophet Isaiah said, my work all seems so useless. I spent my strength for nothing and to no purpose at all. I ask rhetorically, you ever feel like you're just spinning your wheels? That nothing's ever getting done? That one day just runs into the next day and you just say, what's it all about? The prophet Isaiah said, my work all seems to be useless. I work so hard, and it's all for nothing. And then the writer of Psalm 89, verse 47, it was probably King David, said, why did you create us? For nothing? So he asked that question to God. Back to our question for today. What is the purpose of my life? Why did God create me? Now, at your table, you have several questions. And I want us to spend about 10 minutes or so. First, I hope you've done this already, but if not, be sure to introduce yourself to everybody at the table, and then we'll talk about these questions. Oh, I meant to do this a minute ago. I like to take this little survey. Who's a 9 o'clock attender? Who's an 11 o'clock attender? It's always interesting. Who attends 9 o'clock? Mm-hmm. Look at all those good 9 o'clock people. Who attends 11 o'clock? Mm-hmm. It looks almost like 50-50, huh? Pretty close. Who doesn't attend either and has been just kind of checking out the church? Who goes to both? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Both, yeah. All right, here are the five questions. And again, we'll have each table just give us a little report. It's written on your piece of paper. Is it important to find our purpose in life? Where are people looking today to find that purpose? Have you ever wondered about your purpose in life? What ways have you tried to discover your purpose in life that haven't worked? And why do you think people try to discover their life's purpose without turning to God, their Creator? I like doing this because in a church service on Sunday morning, we have the service going on, being led from up front. I speak for about 20 minutes, and the congregation never has a chance to interact and ask questions and to give their thoughts and opinion. And that's what's good about this. We hear the Word of God. You hear what I have to think, but then you have a chance to ask questions and you have a chance to give your input and your thought. So each table, kind of get a spokesperson and we'll get it going. So about 10 minutes or so. All right, ready? Paul, you fired up? Are we making some progress? Okay, what we'll do in just a little bit, I'll go around the different tables and we'll see if we can get the spokesperson to respond to some of the questions, and we'll end up going through most of them. I don't know if y'all know this, but it's much cooler in this part of the room than it is in that part of the room. Much cooler. Pays to sit in the back. Deep? All right, we're going to go around to some of the groups, and we're going to ask you a question and let the spokesperson give an answer for us. We're going to start back with this group in the corner back here. Question number one, is it important to find our purpose in life? And then that, of course, goes with a why. Is it important to find our purpose in life? Who's our spokesperson? Okay.
I guess the reason we're here tonight is maybe to help us with this, because most of us had never given it much thought. So that's, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's a good answer. That's why I hope we're here tonight, because of the question, which is intriguing. What is my purpose in life? And we want to ask that question. We want to think about it. And maybe over the course of 4 weeks, through talking together and praying together and reading Holy Scripture, we can begin to see that our life does have a purpose and God has a purpose for our life. Let's go with this table. Same question. Okay. Dave, the first one, is it important to find our purpose in life and why?
Okay, we said it's important to find our purpose in life because it acts sort of like an anchor to keep oneself grounded and offers us stability. It may help stave off harmful addictions like drugs and alcohol, etc.
It's a really good answer. Not that y'all's was not good. Y'all's was good. That was a really good answer, yeah. Y'all's was good, though. It was good. I'm not dissing y'all. But yes, it is important to find a purpose in life because it helps to ground us, they said, and keeps us stable and secure. And potentially, if we hold on to that purpose all of our life, it helps us not to fall into bad habits and addictions. And that's a really good answer. Let's see if y'all can equal that. Is it important to find our purpose in life, and why?
Yes, it's very important that we find our purpose in life. And as it is, each one of us were created by God. And through our discussion, it's by God creating each one of us, it's our purpose to serve God through the things that we do, our interactions with everybody that we're around, maybe to try and unite everybody in the same purpose.
Really good answer, yes. In the weeks to come, I think that we will arrive at the conclusion that one of the purposes of life that God created us is to love God and to be in fellowship with God, and then for God to use us, for us to serve God. And once we find that purpose and we believe it, it changes everything about our life. We aren't just existing. Our lives mean something, All right, y'all doing great. The first three answers. We're going to do one more. Is it important to find our purpose in life and why?
It's important. We agree that it's important to find our purpose in life, and we feel like to know God and love God is our purpose, and that guides our life, and it should guide our decisions.
Yes, I really like that last sentence too, that it should guide our decisions, that the answers that we have in life, should I do this, should I not do this, why or why not, our faith in God and our purpose in life should guide our decisions. That should be the bottom line of everything that we do. You hear thunder? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll be all right. That's, what's it called? An angel's beating his wife, or what's that called? No, the devil beating his wife. That's it. I knew somebody was beating his wife. Okay, we move to the next question. Where are people today searching to find that purpose?
Hello? People are looking at social media through work, through TV, movies, the world, and just simply talking to other people. That's where they're finding purpose.
One of the main things we do is through social media. Such a harm to us. And I'm on Facebook and social media, but it's dangerous to us to scroll through social media and see what this person's doing and how this person is so happy and this person's at the beach showing their toes. Why do they show their toes invariably at the beach? Invariably. But anyway, at the beach, and this person, and life is good. And we think that's what life is supposed to be about, by talking to other people who are just not spiritual. And we think that's where we find the answer to life, through television and through movies. And there's so many ways that we look for the answers in life that are just wrong. That's really good. Good answers. Okay, this tape, where do we look for our purpose?
Well, there was a song, Looking for Love in All the Wrong Places. If you take that and put looking for purpose in all the wrong places, that's where a lot of people are today. They look for anything and everything to give them the purpose. And we discussed the young man that said in his video games, that's where he got his purpose. And so we see that in so many people today, it's what's going to give them their credibility or whatever. That would happen.
When Nathan thinks you've said enough, he cuts you off. I don't know what the deal is with that. Okay, let me ask y'all, where do people search for their purpose in life?
Let's see if Tiffany gets cut off.
Everywhere, but where they're outside of themselves. We were saying, is it a good thing to look within yourself or outside yourself? So that's the question, too. I think it's important to follow what God wants us to within yourself to find in the outside, you know, what purpose is.
It's good to look outside of ourselves for the purpose. The next question is kind of a rhetorical, so we'll ask everyone just to kind of answer this, but not individually. Have you ever wondered about the purpose of your life? I hope the answer to that is yes, because way too many of us never wonder about the purpose of our life, and we just go from day to day without ever thinking about it. And there's incredible benefits spiritually to asking, why am I here? What's the purpose of my life? Incredible benefits. And that's one of the goals of this study, is to force us to ask that question. What is the purpose of my life? Now, we come to the next question, which is a good one. What are some ways that you have tried to discover purpose in your life?
Okay, so this one. Okay.
Yeah.
So this one we talked about, and originally it was a little difficult to kind of pinpoint any given example, but now, after we discussed question two, I think really kind of a more generic answer would be that we, anytime we try to seek something away from God as the purpose of our life or without his input is probably, that's, I know whenever I've failed, like if I've tried to solely look towards one particular thing without asking his input or kind of getting away from his input, then that's whenever I usually fail and realize I've made a mistake and I'm not there.
Looking apart from God. Mm-hmm. That's good. Okay, this table, some ways that you have looked for God's purpose that hasn't worked.
Well, I gave the example of being in college or looking for a job. Mm-hmm. Like going to different colleges, changing your majors, or going to different jobs and not feeling fulfilled until you find the one that you like or where you're respected. So, personally, those are two places that I felt that I've looked and it hasn't worked out the way I would hoped it would.
Okay, that's a good answer. Thank you, Chan. Here are some ways that you've looked for your purpose in life that hadn't worked out.
We really didn't say much about this question. Unfortunately, we kind of had a free conversation. But I think if your ego gets involved, you can make the wrong decisions if you're trying to build yourself up, climb the work ladder, climb the social ladder, those are not bad things. But if God is not at the center of it, and no, I think and Camille said, well, if you haven't thought about it, something's definitely wrong with you. But it doesn't. I know we all have purposes, maybe to work in the community, to do good work in the community, to be the representative of kindness or goodness, or be a mediator in your job. But if you don't work on developing yourself personally and looking within, I agree with that comment a whole lot, and working on yourself, then you're not going to find satisfaction anywhere.
Good answer, yes. I know in my life the times that I have tried to find a decision on something that didn't involve God, I've always ended up not thinking clearly. Like an example, if the bishop would call me and would want me to go to a certain church or a position or something like that, I have the habit, and you've probably done this before too, of making a list of the pros and the cons. And say that this would be good, 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 this would be bad, bad, and then doing that. Man, that is not the way ultimately to make a decision. It's God, what do you want? What is God's purpose? What's God's decision in this? And we fall short with that. Mr. Miller, you wanted to say something?
Who had the unfortunate experience of going through an unsatisfactory marriage. It wasn't a murder, it was a marriage. And that God led her to a better life with another person. But to me, the whole thing of us looking for purpose leads us to find only purposes that are satisfactory to us. I think instead, if we just pray and without specifically looking, that things fall your way just in answer to your prayers. I've had a very fortunate life. I was in high school. They had all the seniors from all the high schools and McNeese gather one day to take a test on who wanted to go to the Navy, take a test to become an officer. And it was all the seniors from high school, and there was several hundred of us. Well, there were only two of us that were picked. And I took the test because I got out of class for one day. But when there were only two of us picked, it had to go. And that was just a lucky thing. But I ended up getting an education at Mississippi College and Duke University. And luckily, the war ended. I never got off the campuses. The closest I came to the Navy was taking a boat at the end of Canal Street to go across to buy some cigarettes at the campus.
That's a good witness, Joe. Thank you. Okay. Thank you. Again, back to an example from my life. When I was a senior in college, I was trying to decide what seminary to go to. And so I made a list of pros and cons. Perkins would be good for this. ILIF would be good for this. Asbury would be good for this. I made a big list. Then I went to visit Asbury Theological Seminary. And while I was there, I felt God speak to me in my heart and say, this is where you need to go. So that silly list that I made was thrown right out the window. It's God's purpose, and that's the important thing. I'm going to let every table speak that we haven't had a chance to. Why do you think people try to find their purpose in life outside of talking to God? I'm going to let this table answer. That's the last question here. Why do you think people try to find their life's purpose without turning to God, their creator?
It takes a lot of faith to turn to God to find the purposes for your life. And if you don't do that, you're going to end up not finding what God wants you to do.
That's true. Okay, our young people's table. Have y'all answered yet? All right, Ty's going to answer.
I feel like people think that they can do it all themselves, so they don't need God or anything like that.
I think that's a great answer. We just think we are self-sufficient. We can do it on our own. We can make up our own mind. I don't need the advice or the will of my Creator. And so, and sometimes, well, I don't want to preempt any answer, but I have one more answer I want to give. Y'all want to say what y'all said as to why people don't turn to their Creator for advice in the question?
I think it's because they're afraid of what God might ask them.
Okay, she said it's because, and that's my answer, she's said that people are afraid of what God might answer. And I think that is really true. We want to ask God, what should we do? But we're afraid to ask God, what should we do? Because God might tell us to do something that we don't want to do, that puts us out of our comfort zone. I remember hearing kids say over the years, I've prayed, God, please don't call me to be a missionary. Please don't call me to be a missionary. I don't want to go to India. I don't want to go to Africa. We're afraid sometimes to ask God what to do because God might tell us to do something that we don't want to do. Okay, in this table, words of wisdom.
Well, we had trouble. First of all, a lot of people don't even know that God exists. We talked to somebody today, and I said, what church do you go to? We're unchurched. Well, that's kind of a challenge right there, isn't it? Do you know anybody like that? Has anybody ever told you they're unchurched? Well, he said, you might come to First Methodist Church. Why? I said, we got the best preacher in town. At any rate, they don't know that God is there, and they wouldn't know where to go to try to find him. So,
thank you for your kind words, Paul. You're too kind. But it's true that they... No, I got cut off. Thank you for your kind words, Paul. Period. Right. It's true that people don't know to turn to God because deep down they don't believe in God. God has no part of their lives. It's the most distant thing from their mind to ask God, what should I do? In many, many weeks, I'm going to do a series of sermons on Proverbs, pearls of wisdom from Proverbs. And one of the most important things in Proverbs is wisdom, that if you pray for wisdom, God will give you wisdom. The book of James says that, that I think that's a promise God will always answer. When you pray for wisdom as to what to do, God will give you that wisdom. So if you're lost in something and you don't know what decision to make, if someone comes to talk to me about it, I say the most important thing is spend some time quiet, spend some time just you and God, and ask God, Lord, I don't know what to do. I really need your wisdom. Please give me your wisdom. And God is going to answer that prayer. But sadly, too many people don't believe in God in order to ask that question. So what's your purpose in life? A lot of people don't even think of asking God about it. The two scripture passages on our sheet of paper are really good. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, and Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. And you know who wrote these two scripture passages, right? Apostle Paul wrote them. He wrote most of the New Testament. He wrote these two particular verses. Let's read together the first one from Colossians 1, 16. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. Rick Warren quotes this verse because he's talking about the preeminence of Christ, that Christ is the creator of everything, he permeates everything, saying thus basically that all of our plans and decisions, the things we struggle with in life should all be focused on and through Jesus Christ. I think when we wake up in the morning, we need to greet the Lord and say, Lord, this is the day that you've made. Help me to rejoice and to be glad in it. Lead me, Lord, what you want me to do today. And we say this prayer because Jesus is the creator of all, and he has a plan for our life, and we need to trust in that plan. The second passage from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11 is taken from the Message translation of the Bible. Let's read it together. It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eye on us, had designs on us for glorious living. Part of the overall purpose he is working out in everything and everyone. Again, a very powerful passage, that it's in Christ, in our faith in Christ, we really find out who we are and what our purpose in life is. These little quotes from the booklet that, again, if you haven't read it, I hope you read the first two chapters, and then we'll have assignments for next week. Here's one of them. He says, if we want to know about the purpose of our life, we have to look outside of and beyond ourselves. If we want to know the purpose of our life, we can't just look inside of us. We have to look beyond us. And Rick Warren really emphasizes that over and over again. So if you're searching for your purpose, you have to broaden your horizons. You have to look beyond yourself. Then at the bottom of page 5, he says, you won't discover your life's meaning by looking within yourself. Three other quotes from him. You didn't create yourself, so there's no way you can tell yourself what you were created for. That's pretty powerful. You didn't create yourself, so there's no way you can tell yourself what you were created for. Second one, he says, it's only in God that we discover our origin, our identity, our meaning, our purpose, our significance, and our destiny. Every other path leads to a dead end. And then finally, he tells us one of the purposes of life. You were made for God, not vice versa. So how do we discover our purpose in life? How are some ways that we can discover it? Someone just kind of shout out a thought. If a friend of yours came to you and said, man, I'm really searching for my purpose in life, how can I discover it? One way is prayer, to talk to God about it. Pierre?
I think our talents are like a light shine. So if you're good at something, then the green light is a bit better. If you're bad at something, then
Right. Okay, that's good practical advice. Our talents were given to us by God. If we're really good at something, perhaps that is part of our purpose in life. And if we really just are not good at something, then maybe that's not something that we're really geared towards being. My strength is not financial stuff, and yet I find myself on conference committees that have to do with finances. And what in the world am I on here? But they don't listen to me with that. Anybody else? Yes, Heather? Read the Bible. Rick Warren says the easiest way to discover the purpose of an invention is to ask the inventor. God created us. The easiest way to find the purpose of our life is to ask our Creator. If you've never done so, spend a few moments in prayer and ask God, Lord, I believe I'm here for a reason. I'm not just an accident. Why did you make me? What's my purpose here? And then listen carefully for what God has to answer. And I think God speaks to us, of course, through His Word. And if we aren't reading the Bible on a regular basis, God is not able to speak to us on a regular basis as often as He wants to. So I just say, get a little habit, pattern of reading the Bible every day. It doesn't have to be for an hour. 10 minutes, 15 minutes to read the Bible. Do it in a systematic way, like read the Gospel of John, one chapter a day, every day for 22 days, and you'll have read the Gospel of John. Or if you do the upper room, many of us do the upper room, there's a scripture passage in the upper room, read that.
Huh?
You know, I bet this happens to many of us, and I can certainly speak for myself, is that it could be an epiphany. One day you say, gosh, I'm good at this, and I'm good at this, and I'm comfortable with this, and I'm just going to go with this, and it starts to develop from there, and you say, this could be my
Yeah, I think also in addition to that, God shows us His purpose and directs us by opening doors and closing doors. Like if, Lord, should I do this? And you feel nudged in this direction, but then there's a closed door. Well, to me, that's God speaking and saying, nope, don't go this way. Instead, go this way. Open doors and close doors. And Melanie, you're going
to
say something? By talking, you said to Christian mentors, but to Christian mentors. There's so many folks in this church who have been a part of the Christian faith for a long time, and to spend a few moments pulling them aside to say, can I talk to you a little bit about our faith? And just ask them honest questions. I think there's a lot of value in that. Any other questions or comments with that? Y'all are doing great in a very deep, difficult challenge. Let's look at chapter 2 real quick. Now, you know, it's not labeled chapter 2, but if you would label them. It's called You Are Not an Accident. If someone would read for us, Frank, thank you, the first paragraph. Let's follow along.
You are not an accident. Your birth was no mistake or mishap, and your life is no fluke of nature. Your parents may not have planned you, but that doesn't mean God didn't plan you. He works even through human error and failings, and He was not surprised by your birth. In fact, he expected it.
Okay, that was so good. If you could read the second paragraph. I was going to have like three different readers, but man, you knocked it out the park.
It is not fate, nor chance, nor luck, nor coincidence that you are breathing at this very moment. You are alive because God wanted to create you. The Bible says, the Lord will fulfill his purpose for me.
Okay, what are y'all thinking here in those three paragraphs about God knowing you, knowing who your parents would be, knowing everything about your birth, the details of your life? They're like pros and cons to this. What's something that appeals to you about what Rick Warren said? Heather?
I find it very comforting.
Yes, I find it very comforting. Yeah, and I fully believe that. I 100% believe that. God created me, you. God wants us here. God has a purpose for our life. That's very comforting to me. Something else that you like about those first few paragraphs? Emily? I don't know if y'all could hear what, don't forget what you're going to say, okay? I don't know if y'all could hear what Emily was saying. It was really good. She said that even if we don't understand and we don't hear or see God's action or voice in our lives, God is still working when we can't see him or hear him. In the Methodist Church, John Wesley kind of theology, we call it prevenient grace, that God was here working in our lives before we were born, as we were little children. All through our lives, God's prevenient grace has worked through us. And I believe that with all my heart. Okay, Karen?
God knew us before we were even knit together in our mother's womb. So he knows us better than our parents, our friends, anyone. So it could seem logical that we should consult him.
Yes, well said. God knows us better than our parents knew us. God knows us better than we know ourselves. God knew us before we were born. That's scriptural. God saw us in our mother's womb. That's comforting. That's meaningful. Anybody else see something really meaningful? Anita?
If you truly believe it all the way through, then that blows away the justification for abortion afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes a statement about abortion.
Uh-huh. And biologically, if you think about how one egg is fertilized by any of 400 million to be that's versus could have been a bunch.
Right. Right. Didn't happen by chance. Yeah. Okay, and Shane?
Thanks to God's love. Thank you. No matter what situation a child is brought into this world, and that statement that God's love is God's love. So it doesn't matter missing financial nothing. That says it all.
Exactly. That
says his love
has worth in being. A child might think like he's worth nothing, but in God's eyes he's worth everything. What is a little bit disconcerting to you about these first few paragraphs?
I know that in many situations a child is born into a family that is not a God-fearing family. A lot of times they're born into a situation with a family that can't support them, that uses drugs and things like that, and that bothers me that God would plant a child in this place.
Yeah. About a child born in unfortunate circumstances, and why would God allow that to happen? Okay, Joe?
I just want to add that God has had a lot over my life, my wife's life.
weren't you? Been very fortunate, that's for sure. Yeah. The thing that kind of disconcerts me a little bit in this predestination area where he is leading, I believe a lot of it, and then some of it I have some problems with, because taking it its full extent means that God controls everything in your life and takes away some of our independence, the choices we make. That the full extent of that means there's a tragic car accident where someone is killed, means God did that. God control, and I don't believe that. I don't. I think God has this perfect plan for us, but sometimes that perfect plan doesn't happen because of sin, and people make bad choices and wrong choices, and so bad things happen in the midst of God's goodness and God's plan. So when someone comes to me and says their child was killed in a DWI accident, why did God let this happen? I say, with all due respect, God did not let this happen. God is crying with you. God didn't want this to happen. This was a horrible choice of someone who committed a sin. The same with a murder, the same with a rape. God has a perfect plan, but we mess up that plan at times.
I'm glad you say that, because when we first read those two paragraphs, it made me think, okay, so even the person that was unfortunate in life, family-wise, money-wise, or like they said, born into a family who was didn't know God, who weren't believers, and maybe he went through illness. And I thought, well, okay, so maybe in the long run, since our life here is a blink of an eye, well, then we'll have to run with God. But then like you said, you know, we're in charge of choices. And you know, again, though, I've worried before, years ago, worried to go on an airplane ride, and I asked my boss's wife to comfort me, because I knew she was very spiritual, and she said, Jan, the one thing you need to remember is God's in control. That gave me peace, that
yeah.
God's in control, but I also know that we have to make good choices.
Right. And this is a theological issue that Christians have struggled with since the beginning of faith. It's not like something new. In principle, I agree with Rick Warren. But you just have to be careful how far you carry it, that we do have choices and choices have consequence. I'm going to get to both of y'all. Jackie?
Well, what about the enemy? What about Lucifer? Because, I mean, since I've been on the talk about that, but some of the things that are happening, I think, are from Satan.
Right. Jack is asking about the existence of evil, the devil, Lucifer. That is a very real force in the Bible and a real force in the world today. He can be a negative influence upon things and disturb things. But I think ultimately it comes down to our choice of following the devil's leading or not. But that's a good thing also. Who had the question? There we go. Yeah, we play a role in that, a very important role, and that is obedience. Yeah. It's kind of a fine line. Yes?
Talking about Rick Warren and saying that we're predestined, maybe it may have God has an ordained will and a committed will. So if you follow straight to the ordained will, that is predestined. But if you get off and do our own thing,
Probably so. God certainly knows what decisions we're going to make, and God certainly knows everything in our life. God is never taken by surprise, that's for sure, or God wouldn't be God. But of course, that doesn't mean that God causes everything to happen. But God can work good things, that's our faith, God can work good things out of tragic things, including a tragic car accident or a murder or something like that. God didn't do it, but God can work something good from it. Roger?
I heard it said one time that God does not create puppets.
Doesn't create what?
Puppets,
that's right. Yeah, God has given us freedom of will and freedom of action. The two main points that I want us to take away from tonight's study. The first thing is, it all starts with God. It's not about you. It's not about me. It all starts with God. And the second thing is, you are not an accident. You're here for a reason. You are here for a purpose. Okay, those are the two things. It all starts with God, and you are not an accident. For next week, just to reiterate the time, Mel, this is our new time now. We're going to have dinner at 5, and the study will start about 5:30, okay, and end probably 6:30-ish, something like that. Please read chapters 3 and 4 for next week. Underline parts that you really like. Put question marks by something that you don't quite get or you disagree with. But I really think there's a lot of value in just thinking about the question, why am I here? What is my purpose in life? Great value in thinking spiritually, because too often we don't think spiritually at all. We just go from day to day. What a wonderful turnout. I don't know if they're still here. I'm not sure who prepared, but let's thank our meal cookers tonight. And look forward to seeing you next week, maybe in a cooler room, huh, Jimmy? Next week, that's what we're aiming for. And if you've noticed, they've actually started working on the roof in the worship center. Yeah, they've started this week, so that is good progress. Let's close with a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for this time that we spent together this night, thinking about some difficult questions, but important questions, and thinking about your word. I pray, Lord, that in the days to come, you will help us to really ask that question, what is my purpose in life? Hear our prayers in Christ's name. Amen.